today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is being learned live on the way back from Bnei Brak, another very successful trip to the Gdol Yisrael, orchestrated perfectly by Rav Schwartz Shlita and Rav Blum Shlita, with the help of our Nahag Shimon Stark. And we're coming on our way back through jam traffic, giving us more than enough time to finish today's Yomi before we get back to the Kiyas Seder. Baruch Hashem, here we're up to Simon Tav Ben Aleph. So he says here that those that say, the Shulchan Aruch says this, that if you have spoons that were made from horn material, something like ivory, there's no takana, you cannot go ahead and kasher it with hagala. Why? Since they will get ruined in the hot water of hagala, we're concerned that the person is going to be afraid to ruin them. We've seen this a number of times already, that sometimes you can't kasher something, not because me'ikar adin is not a material that can be kashered, but rather it's because we're concerned you won't do it properly. So here we have a scenario where, in principle, it could work by Karen, but it's not going to be something that you can use because look at training, not going to do it properly. So look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Invalid, Hasiyos Mikaren. He says, Kaka Safi La'el, Sif Katan Chav Gimel. I wrote earlier in Sif Katan Gimel, Behu Adin in Rak Hakata Shalayim Hasiyos Mikaren. Because the truth is, he said, I said back way back when, in Sif Katan Chav Gimel, that the same would be true if just the handle itself was made of horn, and that would also be something that will prevent you from utilizing this method of kashering with hagala, because you're concerned that you're going to mess with the handle. You're going to mess it up. You're going to ruin the handle. Therefore, it's something that cannot be kashered with hagala. Pashtus, obviously, if you do libun, you'll burn up the bones. You'll burn up the horns, too. So, looks like you have to clean these kalim and put them away for another day, namely after Pesach. We continue on. Sivkata Nunhei. Dilma Chayi Samayu. Because maybe you're afraid that you're going to ruin them. Asuya Miperal Mutar. If you make kalim out of mother of pearls, kaven shukasha ma'od, since these are is a very strong, tough material, ina domel keren, it's not similar to keren, it's not similar to horn, even though it's a material that one might think, be afraid to go ahead and do agala with. No, you're not afraid. You're not going to ruin it with agala, and therefore it's something that can be kashered with agala. Sifches. A lot of very similar halachas in Yeridea. We have here in Pesachim, as we said, and we have here that whether you're dealing with kalim that are made of wood, clay even, kalim that are made of stone, echad klei matechas, and possibly metal utensils, all these types of kalim, dinam lachshirim b'hagol. You can kasher wood, stone, and metal kalim with hagolah. Comes the Ramah, hagolah. And he says also, kalim made from bone require hagala. Obviously, bone is a material that we're not afraid to go ahead and boil, like horn. There's a chilek between horn and bone. Horn, ivory, you're afraid that you're going to ruin it with hagala, but obviously, clay etzem not. And that's what Mr. Brewer points out. Sif katan nun vav, echad clay eitz. So first he says, whether you're dealing with wood, or you're dealing with stone, or you're dealing with metal, kasher with hagala, davke makli chalak. Now when he says, when we talk about a wood kli, it has to be smooth. Because if it ain't smooth, then kli, b'li shum sedek guma, and you can't have any type of cracks or holes in it, cracks or crevices, because if that would be the case, then we have the problem of, as you remember, chametz getting stuck in it, and there you would not be able to then have a good hagala kasher. And then in Zion, Sukkot and Zion, the Chayim Klei Etzem, you can do hagala on Klei Etzem. He says, Chutz mi Keren. The only type of Etzem that can go ahead and do hagala with it, like we said before, horn. It's the Hurach. It's something that is softer. The Chayis, Shalal Yiskalkel, things like ivory, right? These are soft, and they will get ruined with hagala, and therefore, Ein Moel hagala. That's why when it comes to Keren, hagala will not work. The kli that's made out of keren, hagala will not work. We continue on. Sif test. Hamagil kodem shah chamishes. One person goes ahead. A person goes ahead and does his hagala before shah chamishes, meaning before chametz becomes aser at all, even just the lav, yachal, or even just with the rabbanon, yachal lahagil biyachad kli rishon sheni kelim shabalu dabar ruach deino choshesh. Now he's saying a very important halacha. We're going to see coming up that when you're kashering, there's a fundamental principle in kashrus called kiboylei, as we said, kach polta. The way you kasher it is the same way it is absorbed. You go ahead and you pull out the absorption. So, for example, as we saw, if something was absorbed with the kli rishon, you can go ahead and put it in, immerse it in a kli rishon, and it will pull out the iser. Problem is, great, so it pulls out the iser. What about pulling out the iser and then putting it back? So you're just going to put it right back in. So the Farshim explained that this is what's called, as long as it's in the process of being polite, it's not rivolea. So in the process of kashering, it does not go back in. What happens if something's already is kashered and it's in there? Or let's say you have three different kalim in there that might not exactly have the same amount of bliya and things like that. Or, for example, taking a kli and doing a gala on one side of the kli and then flipping it to the other side. So there's a concern that when you're doing the agala, it's going to pull out and trafe up the other item that might have already finished its agala or is already totally kosher. And therefore, in a regular situation, you're dealing with something that's already it's called an isura bala, where it absorbs iser. You have to be very concerned about this, and you can't go ahead and do agala in these scenarios where you're going to be putting multiple kalim in there, or one side and the other side. That's what he's going to say right now. Sif test. Havagil kodem shah chamishes. So you do agala before shas iser, so then you could go ahead, because it's hatera bala, you can go ahead, yachal lahagil biyachad, you could actually go ahead and do agala with a kli rishon and a kli sheni. Because you're not going to go ahead normally and put a kli rishon and kli sheni together in the same agala pot, because one will be balea from the other. B'chelem shabalu devar muat, and also you don't have to worry about kalim that have just a little bit of iser, and other kalim that have a lot. Ain't no choshesh. There's no need to be concerned. Like we're going to see coming up. The Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Nunches. Ain't no choshesh. He is bayo lekaman in Siman Tuf Nun Beis. We'll see this coming up in Siman Tuf Nun Beis, when you normally would have to be concerned about this type of thing. But here, since it's at Tei Rabbala, we allow it. And that's why if you ever go and you kasher, go to these kasher stands here in Eretz Yisrael, you see people come in. They dump all the kalim in at the same time, all their forks, knives, and spoons, and whatever it is, and they're all in the pot at the same time. Because again, what you're doing it is before shas is. Now, if you remember, we had seen that we're really machmir, because we're only makel hatera bala when we're loading up with like different kulas. Otherwise, we're machmir that's yisura bala. This would be a scenario where Shulchan Aruch is saying you can rely, and he says, Ramah continues on, Gamkin in Magiel Miktsas Hakli Shnei Pa'amim. He says also, if you go ahead and you do Hagala on part of the Kli two times, meaning you go ahead and you do one side of the Kli, then you flip it to the other side of the Kli, which would normally be a problem, here it's okay because it's a Terabala. Now, the question is, why is a Terabala? Why aren't we machmir for a Terabala like we machmir? Because here, as we're going to see, the issue that's going to we're going to be getting into is the issue of not bar not, things like that. So, as the Mishnah Berurah says, we'll see and understand a little more in Tufnan days why it normally is a problem to kasha these ways, and how here it's not going to be a problem according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, because it is a terrible. Continue on, Sif Yud. Salim Shemochim Bahem Basar. They used to have these baskets in which they would go ahead and do Malicha. That's where they would kasha the Basar with Malicha. As you know, they used to pull the blood out of the basar, kasher the basar with melach, with salt. So you salted the basar. So there are those yesh matzrichin lehem agala. There are those that require agala. Yesh mishacholik, and those that are cholik. The nirin dvarim, it appears to me like those that say you do not need agala. And the Ramah then says tov lagilan olig mechadash. However, he says it's good. The Ramah says after the Shulchan Aruch said nirin kedvarav that it's no problem and you don't need agala. Ramah then says it's good to do hagala, or if you can't, as we're going to see, liknos chadash and buy new baskets to go ahead and do your salting. Now, what's the issue? So what if you're salting meat? Where's the chametz? So if you remember, salt is always a concern that maybe this salt that you're using all year long, so the salt might have chametz in it. So that's what he says. Why? Since you're not concerned all year long that maybe chametz got into your salt, maybe the kli absorbed some tam of chametz. This kli, this basket that he did a melich on, maybe it absorbed some chametz. And then maybe it went ahead and makabel some tam. And since it was makabel some tam on Erev Pesach with the melicha, Chozer Nosek Tam, but Pesach is going to come and it's going to then go ahead and give off tam on Pesach, and therefore do a gala with these baskets for the salt being occurred. We now move on. Tifkat Dan Samech, Yesh Mishachole. They hold Shachzuke Isura Lo Machzina. So we did not go ahead and take chametz, and we say, since chametz in this case is not really known that this chametz there, we don't know that this chametz is mixed in with the salt, so we don't go and establish by ourselves that there was chametz there. And Farshim say that this is not even viewed as suffix. And if that's the case, if there's no need to be, if there's no reason to be choshesh, we're not going to go ahead and have a suffix, then maybe there's chametz there. That's what this Yesh Mishacholei. Ramad said it appears to be like the Yesh Mishacholei, although the Ramad then went on to say, B'tov, it's good to go ahead and to do Hagalah, look at the Mishnah Berurah, B'tov, turning the pages, B'tov Lahagilan, it's good to go ahead and do Hagalah anyway, and if not, look at those Chadashim, require new baskets, new Kalim, look at the Mishnah Berurah, Lahagilan. He's saying you should go ahead and do what type of Hagalah on these baskets, because the baskets absorb chametz. If it absorbed any chametz at all, it absorbed it by a malicha. So malicha doesn't require a Hagalah and a Klei Rishon. You can kasher it with Iroi, he says. Ayidei Iroi mi Klei Rishon. Iroi mi Klei Rishon will suffice. Again, since the Bliya was based on malicha, so this type of Bliya doesn't go all the way into the depths of the Kli, like a Bliya that was through cooking. It's a Bliya that came through Malicha. So therefore, since only the outer part of the basket, the amount of a Kedei Klipa becomes, if anything, absorbed with the time of Chametz, that could be kashered with Hagala of the Kli and the Irui, which is also, we pass in Irui is Mavashel Kedei Klipa. Therefore, it would be a perfectly fine form of kashering according to the Shulchan Aruch. And again, the Shulchan Aruch then said that we are makel. He says Yesh Mishacholek V'Nirin Kidvarav. So now the Mishnah Berurah explains the Rama. The Rama says that even though the Shulchan Aruch had said Yesh Mishacholek V'Nirin Kidvarav, the Shulchan Aruch had said that we do not look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat Nisamech. We do not presume that the Kli has chametz in it. We don't go in and presume that. So comes Ramah and he says, no, we should still go ahead and do Hagalah. Tov la'agilan. So he says, Ali de iri b'kirishon, the Sifkan Samachalim. So you do iri b'kirishon. After the war of the common Pacific, test by God, lo mahani Hagalah. So again, you do an iri b'kirishon. The reason why you do an iri b'kirishon, because that's all you have to do. That's the only thing, that's the level of kashrus that you're going to need, because malicha is not going to absorb more than the surface area. Now when he goes and he says, but even though the Kaman and Sifri Tchas and the Hagol and the Ramah, it says, lo mahani len Hagolah, you can't do Hagolah, you can't kasher with iri these baskets. Haini mishub desham mairi shem eshtabshin behen chavetz kol hashanah. There, it's clear that the reason why it's a problem is because those baskets were used for chametz all year long. And it's definitely very likely that the baskets will have chametz stuck to it. We're in the weave. Asha ain came bizarre, as opposed to this case. In this case, it's salt, and we don't know that there's any chametz in there for sure. And therefore, it's okay. And now he says, the truth is, even kashering it in this case is the chachila. But the other, even if he did do adola, and he actually afterwards did another malicha in it afterwards, not to worry. You can eat the basa. I'm feeling you do well though. It's this. Even if you knew that the basket was nivla chametz b'salam ayde malicha, even if you knew that the baskets absorb chametz mamish with malicha, you still could use it b'diavad if you salted meat in such a basket afterwards. And they sha'ina melech mafid lecha b'lupa. This is a cloud that we learned earlier on. The malicha only works to draw out the blood from the meat. Unlike Adullah, which draws out the glios from the kli, malicha does not go ahead and draw out anything from a kli, only from basar. And therefore, so let's say the basket went ahead and you know there was chametz there when you did the malicha. You know there was chametz in the soul. So again, you have to kasher it with Adullah, iri kli rishon. Again, the reason why it's iri kli rishon, and not mamish kli rishon is because malicha only is Bolea up until the klipa, and Irui is also only Bolea, and therefore that's polate up to the klipa. So normally you have to do that, but b'diavad, if all you're doing afterwards in the basket is malicha and it was cleaned out, so you do not have to worry at all that the malicha in the basket is going to pull out the absorptions from the basket. Malicha only goes ahead and pulls out blood from the basket. Tzifkat nesabach beis. Oh, Lipnos Chadashim. He says it's tov to go ahead and be magil these kalim, even though there are those that say you do not need to go ahead and do it. You should do hagala, he said, even though the Shulchan Aruch said near in Devarim did not require hagala. So comes the Ramaz, besides being told magilan, if you can't do hagala, then what you should do is you should buy new kalim, new baskets to do your malicha in. Mishabura, Perish, and Yershan Lagilan. If you do not go ahead and do hagala on this basket, it's the appreciation and gumos, because it has holes and crevices and cracks. So, therefore, the best thing to do is to buy new kalim for Pesach. Sif Yud Aleph. And this is a very important halacha l'maisa, when you're kashering for Pesach. That is the issue of pans, frying pans. Up until now, we've been talking about, I've been alluding to the frying pan case, and I mentioned it once or twice, but we haven't really dealt with it. Up until now, we've really only dealt with either things that were olea chametz through another medium, a cooking, but there was some liquid in there, so it's a cooking. It was another medium between the kli and the fire, such as a liquid. Hashem came is roasting al ha'esh. We're actually going ahead and putting a spit or a grill, namish on the esh without any other medium of liquid. That's what's called, it's voleya al yedei ha'or, which would therefore, as you know, demand a libun to kasher, as opposed to going in and doing a Hagala of a Kli Rishon, where the Bliya itself came from a Kli Rishon. But what about a pan that you fry with? Comes the Shulchan Aruch and says, the Machman Shemetagnin, a pan that you fry in, Perish, Chiyotin, Bashem, and Lefot. So you go ahead and you pour some oil on the pan. Okay, you're baking the bread in the pan. So he says, Shemetagnin Ba, Muteris Ba Hagala. All you have to do is Hagala, and you don't have to do Liban on it. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. What's the basic reason? That's before you can go in to the Mishabura. The obvious reason is going to be because since there's oil in there, so that's like cooking with a liquid. And therefore, any chametz that was in there, let's say your French toast or something like that, that's going to go into the pan via the shemen, which is like water. It's like some type of liquid there. Then he says, specifically in an oven where chametz was baked without any type of liquid, that's where tzarech libun. That's where you require libun. You don't require libun on a frying pan. You're not concerned that maybe the oil in a certain spot went ahead and dried up, and chametz nefa blo mashka, and therefore the chametz would be baking onto that pan without any liquid, without any mashka. He says, even if it would go ahead and burn out the oil and it would stick to the wall of the pot, of the machlas, of the pan. This is opinion saying you can still assume that there is some liquid there, some oil there. Same thing be if you're using any metal clay that you're cooking in. Even though there are times when it gets stuck to the clay, and if it gets stuck to the clay, you might think, hey, therefore it's a direct heat between the fire and the clay and the chametz. So he says here that you do not have to worry about it, and you can be magilin du agala in a kibishon and treat the frying pan like the frying pan was had a bliya from a kibishon. Sifkat nisamach dalat sheyotkin b'shemen. This gulvad in shuman. Same thing would apply to fat. Once you heat it up, it gets nice and gets nice and juicy. So it's like liquid there. Yeshet ratzim olmar. There are those who wanted to say the shuman ain't a b'chal mashkin. Okay, shuman you can't view as fat. You can't view as liquid. We could gufa the bisruhu. No, that's like the actual flesh of the animal. And therefore, when it comes to shuman, fat, that would, if you just put, let's say, a fatty piece of meat straight up on a pan, that would for sure require a liban. You can't say that the fat is like the oil. And he continues on. The shuman mashke. We could go for the bisro, right? For those that say that it's not like mashke, it's like the goof of the basa. And therefore, nechshot tashmisho al yedei or, therefore, its usage would be viewed as a usage of the kli, direct fire, and therefore require liban. However, for the poskin, it sounds like the shuman is the chal mashke, and would not, if it's a significant amount, would not render it something that requires a liban, but rather only a hakol. Simtam nesamachay teres be ha'gola. So the Shulchan Aruch had said that you can do a gola on a frying pan. So comes the Mishnah Berurah, and he said that tam, you know, like I said earlier, sherei ofen bo in mashke, because when you bake with some type of liquid. Mali shemen or mayim. What's the difference whether it's shemen or mayim? It's a liquid. Aval ha'gano she ofen bo ugos ben. However, when you're dealing with these agunot, which is a type of like a pan, that you go ahead and you bake these cookies and cakes. Even though you smear it with some type of fat or oil or butter, you're going for mishoifin bo tarakin or bakin kuchin. Okay, it's basically saying Pam. If you put the stam Pam on it, you just smear a little layer so it doesn't stick, then tzrichin liba medina. It's going to require libun, divina, chain. Askavardes. Shapamim Nuchumin, Ben Subin Bechola, Srichen Libun Bi Dina. So, a skavardes is also a pan that's used for frying. And this pan is sometimes used for chamin going ahead and cooking up bran for a chola. That's going to require tzrichin libun midina. It's going to require libun midina because the amount of liquid that is a medium between the subin, the bran, and the actual kli is so minimal. So it's going to require libun because there's no liquid in it, and therefore this type of frying will for sure be the equivalent of cooking something directly ala esh, roasting something directly ala esh, which will require libun. But then he goes on and he says, in the aruka, and if this item is very long, since you're allowed to do hagala with this, and again, as we said before, it's still before the time of Isser, it's still the time of Hatera Bala, so you can go ahead and put half of this pan, and do hagala on half of it, and flip it, and then do the other half. In the aruka, be Isser, and if it's very, very long, you're going to have to be malavne the emsa. You have to leave it in the middle because you're not going to get both sides fully in. And you're going to have a middle part that is not going to get into the liquid, and you have to leave it there, right, smack in the middle. And then the Ramah says, with the leave in kolgu, shekash nisrafa love sagile. And he goes and he says, that the leave that you're doing here,
does not need to be a Lieblin Gummer. It could be a Lieblin Cow. Why is that? But since you do not require here anything more than Hagala, so then, and you're only doing Lieblin here because you practically can't do the Hagala, so Lieblin Cow will work. Yesh Machmir in the Labed HaMachmir. Now he goes and he brings the opinion and says, now those that are Machmir to do Lieblin on the frying pan. Ach, the Lieblin Kolduhu, but even a Lieblin Kolduhu will work. Dainish Yisro for love, Kash, Nibachut, Sagi, right? The Lieblin Kal, where it's just going to burn up a little straw if you put it on the outside of it, that will be enough. The Nogin Labon, Labon Lechatilah, the Minog is to actually do Lieblin Lechatilu, Liu Sagi Le, the Hagola, still, it's enough. If you did Hagola, in Ein Bodumos, if there are no holes and cracks and crevices. Look at the Mishnah Brura, Yesh Machmirin, the Labin Hamachavat, the Pamin is Yavesh Hashum. What's the reason why they're Machmir? Because, as we said before, there is still that fashion that might go ahead and dry up the shuman in a certain spot, and therefore the bread will be baked on to the straight onto the metal cleat, and it'll be nefes be'en ala machmas. It's going to go directly cooking, roasting, baking straight onto the pan. However, Samat Stein says new sagile ritzon lomar midina. Midina, you can still rely. He says on the opinion that allows hagala. However, he brings down the brichadash is the sadeh the medina tzarach libo. No. I'm pretty sure we're noeg, all right? And correct me if I'm wrong, the Rav of the Shul. We are noeg, correct Rav Schwartz, that we do not go ahead and rely on Hagala or even Lieblin Kal for frying pans. We will only do a Lieblin Gummer, concerned that, you know, it might have been a situation where you did not have a significant liquid there, and therefore you require Lieblin. Now, what also the post can point out is that Teflon is not something that you're going to be able to go ahead and kosher because you need to do Lieblin if you have a Teflon pan, and it will ruin the Teflon. So, therefore, Teflon, you go ahead, scrub a dub, and put it in the tub and put it away for after Pesach. Okay.